Well, we're continuing this morning on our series on the armour of God, and we're moving on today to the next part, which is the shield of faith. It says in Ephesians 6:16, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which with you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Now remember, as we said last week, each and every part of this armor is vital. It's vital for us to be fully protected, fully ready to engage in the fight that we've all been drafted into. And we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And let me tell you, those principalities and powers will come at us with everything they've got. So we need to be covered. We need to be ready. Ephesians 6:13, it says, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. You know, we can only stand firm against the enemy when we're fully equipped. And that's the aim of this series over these next weeks, to equip us, the army of God. It's to break strongholds and attacks that we've suffered in the past. And I hope last week there were some strongholds broken in our lives. It's my hope those victories will take place week after week after week. You see, that armor, it's not enough to just have it, but we need to put it on, and all of us need to wear it. And as we wear the full armor, I believe we will see a difference in our lives as we stand against the schemes of the enemy. And so we move on this morning to our shield, the shield of faith. By the way, in the ESV it says, in all circumstances, where in the King James Version it says, above all, take up the shield. Now, above all doesn't mean that the shield is the most important part more than everything else. And that's why some of the other translations put it as in all circumstances, to avoid this confusion. Above all means you have your armor, and then on top of that, you have your shield. You have this extra layer of protection. And above all, so you've got this, above all, you've got the shield. In every circumstance, use this shield, and only what gets through the shield can hit the armor. Now, it's a very specific type of shield that Paul is talking about. I'm really sorry, I've left my water over there. Could you pass it, Ian? Thank you. Thank you. It's a very specific type of armor shield we're talking about. At this time period, there were different kinds of shields used by different types of people. You could have small shields, like a round one, or a shield-shaped one that was about that big. And then there was the larger type of shield, which is larger and heavier, but could take more damage. Now, the word Paul uses in the Greek is thurios, and it's a very specific word. It's actually a word that's also used for gate or door shape. So he's talking specifically about this type of shield. The heavy, long, oblong shields that the Roman soldiers would use. He's talking specifically. He's used this word on purpose. So don't have that image of a small, round Captain America type shield. That's not the type of shield he means. He means this shield that is big enough for you to crouch your whole body behind it. It was usually about 4 foot high and 2.5 foot wide. It would be thick, it would be made with a light wood, and would have a rim of brass around the outside. That's that yellow bit around the outside of it. At the center, there'd be a polished metal dome, and it would be slightly curved to help things glance off it rather than get stuck in it. It was a shield, thanks Darren, you can clear that now. It's a shield that was used by the heavy infantry part of the Roman army. They were the ones who would push their way forwards through the battle lines. They are the ones who would take on the brunt of the attack. They are the troops who would mount the frontal assault and anchor the battle lines. Isn't that a great metaphor for us? These are the troops that have the arrows fired at them. They are the troops that had to deal with the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, the fiery darts, these are arrows that are wrapped in a burning cloth. And they are fired in the hope that they will stick into a soldier and not just pierce them, but burn them. In some cases, these were even, the point of the arrow was made burning hot. And sometimes there was even javelins thrown with something combustible on the end of it. But these shields were covered in a thick leather hide that was preserved by frequently being anointed. These arrows could then be deflected by the shield or alternatively get fixed in it without causing the soldier harm. Now, why is it Paul uses this imagery of fiery darts? Why particularly this image? Well, first of all, these shields were specifically designed to repel that kind of weapon. So it fits very much with what he's talking about. But also, in the field of battle at the time, the fiery arrow was the most formidable weapon you could come up against. They weren't just designed to stick in you. They were designed to stick in you and burn you. And I tell you, you don't want that. But here's the thing about arrows and fiery darts. They come quietly, and they come suddenly. There's very little warning when an arrow is going to hit you. They barely make a noise, and they can take you out in an instant if you're not prepared. So what's Paul telling us? Well, the first thing, I believe he's saying faith is not a small shield. It's a great, big, heavy shield. The shield of faith is not a tiny addition to your armory. The shield of faith is a great wall with which you can crouch behind it and be safe. And this shield is a particular faith. This isn't the gift of faith, as in the gift of the Spirit. This isn't something, because the gift of the Spirit is something God gives as he chooses and when he chooses. This is not one of the power gifts. This is a different type of faith Paul's talking about. This is the faith that is given to every soldier. This is the shield that's given to every person who's in the fight. And it's the faith that's designed to help you stay the course. This is the faith of patience, the faith of endurance. It's this almost passive faith where we're trusting in God's protection. We're trusting in submission to God's will. And the arrows of temptation, the arrows of fear, the arrows of lust, the arrows of doubt, they will all fall harmless against it. It's the kind of faith that plants itself in front of you and doesn't move. Did you know you have that faith? You have that faith. Paul isn't telling you to acquire it. He's telling you to take it and use it. And you need to hold that faith out every step of your journey. Because you do not know when the fiery darts are going to hit you. Arrows are silent, and they're sudden. You do not know when temptation will rear its ugly head. You do not know when doubts or difficulty will come in your life. So keep your shield up. The wonderful thing about a shield is you can move it. You can hold it wherever the attack is coming from. In one moment, it can protect you from an attack above. And in the next moment, it can protect an attack at the front. In the next moment, it can protect you from a sword, it can protect you from an arrow. A shield is used to protect you wherever and whatever the attack is. Faith is used to protect every single part of you. Whichever part of you is getting attacked, faith can protect you. But to do it, you need to use it. Because it's no good just hanging at your side. Faith, like a shield, has a very specific purpose. It takes the blows that were meant for you. Let me tell you this morning, attacks will come. Fiery arrows will come at you. And we don't shy away from that as good soldiers. We don't stand back and keep out of the battle. We let the shield take the hits. If it hits your shield, it isn't hitting you. A soldier who hides behind the battle lines does not need his shield, because there's no arrows coming his way. But neither will he ever gain any ground. He will just stay put and never advance an inch in his life. Paul is telling us faith is a great wall of protection. He tells us that we all have access to it. And he's telling us we all must take it and use it in order to advance. Now, for a shield to be an effective thing, a shield needs to be strong. Weak faith will crumble at the first sign of an attack because it's not built on anything sure. You cannot go out there with a shield made of plywood, like those cheap ones you get at English Heritage places. A plywood shield will not get the job done. In fact, a weak shield can give you false confidence. Because you might think it's protecting you, but it won't protect you from a thing. And you won't know the difference until the arrow's in your chest. You need a faith that is rooted and strong. A faith that is not shaken the first time assault comes along. And unfortunately, it's very easy for us to look like we have great faith and a great shield when things are easy. It's when things get difficult we find out how strong that shield is. Let me tell you, the shield of faith is not flimsy. It is assured. And what does a strong faith look like? Well, first of all, it needs to be rooted and based on something strong. This shield is only strong because it's made of strong wood. See, if you have faith in something that's not true, then it's a flimsy faith. Having faith in something by itself does not mean that thing you have faith in is correct. You could have faith that you're lighter than air. That will not allow you to fly. No matter how assured and firm you are in that conviction that you can fly, you step off something, you'll realize that faith is not built on anything strong. Faith needs to be placed in the right place. Ultimately, the assurance of things hoped for isn't whatever we hope for, no matter how outrageous it is. It's actually in a person. And our faith is rooted in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus we see the promise fulfilled and the very substance of our faith realized. It is to Jesus Christ and Him alone that the writer of the book of Hebrews, for example, is directing people to when they're looking for what faith is all about. Hebrews 2:12 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." We can have faith because we can look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We look to Jesus who endured in faith on our behalf so that we might not go faint-hearted in times of hardship and times of struggle. Let me tell you, it's not always going to be easy. But as long as we're looking at the right person, we'll get through it. Assurance doesn't come with well-ordered circumstances or a trouble-free life. If you are waiting for all your problems to go away before you feel assured, you're going to have quite a wait. Assurance is not found in having the right answer to every question. Sometimes you ain't got the right answer. Assurance comes in a relationship with a trustworthy God who fulfilled promises in the past and will fulfill them in the future. Faith is grounded on God's work accomplished in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who is the substance and hope of faith. And when we talk about fiery darts, you know, it can mean a huge amount of things. And we've got to be ready for them. Blasphemous thoughts, temptation to sin, they can be thrown at your mind out of nowhere. Unbelief, despair, crushing circumstances, health problems, family problems, financial difficulties, all of these things can come at us seemingly out of nowhere like arrows falling from the sky. One moment, everything can be fine, and the next it's raining pain all around you. It's sudden. It's unexpected. And these arrows can pierce and penetrate. They wound you. And then they continue to burn you like arrows on fire. These things can destroy you without warning. Unless they bounce off your faith. A Roman soldier needs to look after his shield. If he didn't, the arrows were more likely to get stuck in them rather than glance off them. How? Well, on the front, it had a thick hide. And that hide was kept fresh by frequent anointing with oil. Without that frequent care and anointing with oil, it would start to flake and tear and be weakened. Has anyone ever owned a lovely leather jacket? I used to love wearing leather jackets. Now I think actually they make me look like I'm an old person trying to look young. Which is probably what's happening. But anyway, if you don't look after that leather, it starts to flake. And it's more likely to tear. You know, our faith is exactly the same. First of all, to have an effective faith, you need a thick hide. It's a good place to start. How thick is your hide? Because the quality of the hide makes a difference. How much does it take you in life before you come undone? How easily you're offended? Let me tell you, if you're going to live the Christian life, you're going to need to develop a thick hide. Next, you need to look after it. You need to look after your faith. Your faith needs frequent anointing with oil, or it will become weak. And it will become flaky. You need to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need that frequent anointing. You need to make sure you are in places where your faith will get built up instead of shattered. You need to make sure you are often and regularly in the presence of God and God's people. Otherwise, you'll find your faith gets weakened. Yeah? If all of our faith is rooted in Christ, what better way to keep it strong than to get in His presence? To spend time with the Holy Spirit. Why is it we need to come to church? To look after your hide and to keep it anointed with oil. How long does it take when we get out of the presence of God's people, where we come and we worship Him and we learn to seek and grow and develop? How long does it take away from that before your faith starts to flake away and gets weakened? A shield's got to be used, and a shield's got to be maintained. How does faith work? There's a difficult one. One of the most well-known verses on faith is found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Okay, now this verse has often been misunderstood, misused, and misread, making faith into something that it's not. Most of the times you'll have heard this verse, you'll have heard the King James Version or the New King James Version, which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm going to get back to that bit in a moment because there's a difference there that has caused some very confused thinking. But first, I just want us to take a step back and read the verse immediately before this. Because if you remember, of course, the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. So when the writer of Hebrews wrote this, there was no separation between these two sentences other than maybe a paragraph or a full stop. Hebrews 10:39. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. See, the writer is talking about perseverance. That despite circumstances, we're not people who shrink back, because we are people with faith. We are people who stay the course. And then the writer says, now faith, can I just say, this isn't speaking about the immediacy of faith, or a special kind of faith that's about the current moment. It's the writer continuing his point. So the word used in the Greek isn't now as in this current moment in time. It's more like saying moreover, or in that case. It's not a case of now faith, it's a case of now faith. Those two sentences are very different, yeah? And I know that kind of sounds picky, but we can run into trouble when we start reading things to mean something they don't mean. Now, faith is the substance or the assurance, the evidence. This word substance has caused a lot of problems. Some preachers have took that word to say faith is a thing, that it is a substance. That is a misunderstanding of the word. Faith doesn't have substance because it's not a tangible thing. That's why I prefer the translations where it says assurance, because that really gets to the heart of what it means. Assurance, a confidence, a conviction. Something that persuades us. The audience who first received this letter was believers who were undergoing tremendous suffering and persecution. And the author is reminding them that faith is assurance in the middle of trouble. The assured things hoped for isn't just a wishful thinking about the future. It's not this sense of, well, I hope it happens. I don't think it will, but I hope it does. It's not that kind of hope. Rather, it's a description of what faith already has, the possession in the present of what is promised in the future, rooted in and centered around who Jesus is and what Jesus said. It's that sense of, I can't see it. It's not tangibly in front of me, but I know it's there because I trust Jesus. It's not the faith that makes the thing. It's the faith is what assures you what the thing is there. Faith, therefore, has to be grounded in truth. And we're going to get to truth next week. But you see, I can have faith for £1 million. But that's a flimsy faith because it's not based in truth and will only lead to disappointment. And understand, it's not the size of the amount of money that I'm saying that's the issue there. It's that I'm not basing that £1 million on anything God has said. Just saying it because it'd be quite nice to have it. The disciples at one point were unable to drive a demon out of someone. And Jesus said something really important in Matthew 17:19-20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now we need to understand something about this passage. Jesus is not saying as long as you have enough faith, everything you have faith for will happen. He's not saying that. To say nothing is impossible isn't to say everything's going to happen. It's saying nothing is too big for faith. But faith has to be rooted in truth and in the Word of God. There have been great men and women of faith right throughout history. And not one mountain has been moved from here to there. Why? Because they didn't have enough faith? No. Because throwing a mountain around has not yet served the purposes of God. Yeah? It's never needed to happen. What Jesus is doing is he's using hyperbole. He's saying, the smallest thing you can imagine and the biggest thing you can think of, the smallest thing can affect the biggest thing because faith is not hindered by the size of the obstacle. The size of the obstacle doesn't matter to faith because faith is rooted in a God who's bigger than the mustard seed and bigger than the mountain. It's rooted in a God who can do all things. But that doesn't mean he will do all things. He can do all things, but he will always stay true to his word. No matter how big the problem is in your life, it doesn't matter. Because it's still smaller than God. Yeah? There's not a single problem any of you have that is bigger than God. Therefore, the size of the faith doesn't matter because it's focused on a God who's bigger than everything. No matter how big your problem, even if you've got a tiny amount of faith, it's up to the job. Faith is not a leap into the dark. It's knowing that when you jump into the dark, there's something there. Faith only allows you to believe in the things that aren't seen. In fact, faith only works with the things that are not seen. Because if you can see it, or you can hold it, or you have some tangible evidence of it, it's not faith. It's knowledge. Romans 8:24 says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what you can already see? You can't hope for something you see that you can see, and you can't have faith for it. Faith and hope work together, but they are different. Hope is an excited expectation of something you know is coming. Yeah? Faith is how you know it's coming. You understand the difference? Our salvation works through faith. I have a hope in heaven. When I was saved, I suddenly developed a hope in heaven. But how do I know I'm going to get there? Have I seen it? Nope, never seen heaven. Have you seen a piece of paper with your name written down on the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you seen it? No. So how do you know you're saved? Were you there when Jesus bore your sin on the cross? Did you see it? Did you see Jesus raised from the dead on the third day? No. But I know that I'm saved. I know I have a future in heaven. I know my sin was defeated on the cross and that on the third day Jesus rose again and conquered death. How do I know it? Through faith. Romans 1:17 says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it's a gift of God and not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's faith that connects us to what we can't see. It allows us to accept the unseen as true. And it's only through faith we can do that. Faith is not this airy, fairy, I hope it's true. It's an assurance. A firm conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the faith that saves us. Not, I don't know if I believe in Jesus, but I'll put my hand up and see what happens. That's not faith. That's not hope. It's this conviction of, I know, you can't prove it to me, but I know it. That's the faith that saves us. And unfortunately, that's the faith the world's not looking for. John 20, 29 says, Jesus said to him, have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. I have never seen Jesus, but I know he's there. I know it, and I know it, and I know it. Faith gives legs to hope. I have a hope in heaven. But faith lets me know that hope's real. I have a hope in the blessings of God over my life. And it's through faith that I know that hope is true. It's the hope that I have in the coming kingdom that gives me the strength day to day to live a life for God. But I can only know it's coming through faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And faith takes the unseen and makes it visible. That's how in Hebrews 11 we read about the heroes of faith who never lived seeing the promise. Never saw it. But held on through faith because they trusted God. My faith is a shield because it's firm and it's not about wishing, it's about knowing. Just as it was when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it wasn't about wishing, it was about knowing Jesus Christ was real and that he died for me and that he was the only way to God. So when the enemy throws at you doubts, faith fortifies the truth. When his flaming arrow of temptation comes flying at you, faith knows the holiness of God. When he hurtles despair and persecution and hard times, faith knows God is good and faithful. When the whole world seems like it's against you, faith tells you God is for you. You see, even in the darkest hour, the most crushing time of your life, when there seems to be no hope and no way out and no chance of your life ever being good again, faith knows that God is good. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. And you might not be able to see the end of the torment, but faith can. Faith can see the end of the darkest night coming. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because without faith, you can't believe he's real and good and true to his word. When you get behind your faith, the deadliest arrows in the world bounce right off it. Psalm 7:10 says, my shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. See, my faith is nothing except for what it actually puts in front of me. Because it's God who's really my shield. My faith is only called a shield because it puts him in front of me. And it puts me behind him. And when I'm behind God, when I am taking refuge in God, let me tell you, there's not a man alive who can run me down. There is not a devil who can hit me with any arrow because God is bigger than any of it. Amen. God is my defense. God is my trust. And My faith is nothing in itself other than who it brings me into connection with. And that's the whole purpose of faith. It's a belief to lead to faithfulness. To standing firm. And to enduring. Even though it can't see, it knows God is true and acts accordingly. See, a faithful life is the life of someone who trusts God absolutely and stands firm. If you keep faithful to God because of the firm assurance you hold to, there is not a fiery dart in the world that can take you out. Something else about the way the Roman army would use their shields. And God gave me a picture of this, and then after he gave me a picture of it, I found everybody else had already come across this. So anyway, the Roman infantry was not one man alone. He was not just stood there in the middle of a field with a shield by himself. The Roman army would attack in formation. A single person might be able to hold a barrage for a while, but only for a while. The Roman army was unstoppable because it worked together. They'd advance to the enemy in formation. One of the most famous formations you can see there was called the testudo, which is Roman for tortoise. The men would align their shields together, and those at the front would hold them in front. Those in the behind would hold them above, and those in the center would hold them above. And every direction of attack would be met by a wall of shields. Can you show the next one as well? Everything that could be hurled at you, the shields would take. The shields would come close together, they'd even overlap to form this impenetrable barrier that an enemy couldn't get through. It was the best protection that a Roman soldier could have against any arrow or other missile. There's a guy called Plutarch, and he fought the Romans, and he describes this formation that Mark Antony used in 36 BC. He said, "Then the shield bearers wheeled around and enclosed the light armed troops within their ranks, dropped down to one knee, and held their shields out as a defensive barrier. The men behind them held their shields over the heads of the first rank, while the third rank did the same for the second rank." So they were holding their shield not over themselves, but over somebody else. The resultant shape, which is a remarkable sight, looks very like a roof and is the surest protection against arrows which just glance off it. In 2014, there were protests in Kiev, and the riot police, can you show that picture? The riot police were called, and they used the tortoise formation. And it worked to great effect. You see, your faith is good. Your faith is strong. Your faith can withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. But when... Chris, come up front. Ian, come up front. Just line up next to me. See, my shield's good. Hold your shields out. But when our shields come together, we're not just protecting ourselves. We're protecting each other. Yes? Thank you, guys. When we come together, we protect each other. And as a church, when we come together, when we align our faith, when we overlap our faith, we form a barrier that protects us so much more than our faith by itself. When we stand together as a church, united, we form a spiritual tortoise. And God gave me this picture of the church, of all of us, with our shields overlapping and nothing could get through. When we stand together, unified in formation, when we make a spiritual tortoise, let me tell you, the enemy is repelled. When prayer requests come in, and we send them round, and we pray for one another, we're putting our faith together. When we prayed for my dad, he had something he was praying about. But when we pray about it together, we're overlapping our faith. Each praying and believing, when a prayer request comes around, please pray. Because that strengthens our resolve. When someone in church is struggling and people start to get around them, their faith is fortified. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be part of a family that's looking after you and looking after each other? Now, having people around you is no excuse to let your faith be weak. Because the tortoise is only as strong if every shield is up. But when we are together in unity, we are strong. And the enemy, I tell you, he will do all he can to weaken our unity. That's why, just in case you didn't know, that's why people in church can wind you up like nobody else on earth. The enemy wants us to bicker. Because when we don't have unity, we're not as strong. And the enemy will throw everything at us when we're in unity. And we will not buckle. Ephesians 6:16, as we read at the start, says, "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one." How many of the flaming darts of the evil one? All of them. Do you know what all means? It means all of them. In all circumstances, we should take it up. How often's that? Hey, all the time. Do you know how often all means? All the time. These darts will come at you without warning. So keep your shield up. Keep looking forward. Keep your faith rooted in Christ. Look after your shield. Anointed with oil regularly. Keep close to your brothers and sisters so you can overlap your shields. And when the arrows come, they can't. I'm not going to say won't. They can't touch you. Let us let 2018 be a year where you choose to grow in faith. And what is it? How do you grow in faith? What you do is you trust in the things you cannot see because you trust God more than you can see. You let your trust allow you to become firm. When life throws things at you, when life seems to knock you at every angle, you can say, "I will not be moved. And I am not going to go to pieces because I'm going to trust that God has the bigger picture." Faith knows that even though it seems impossible, nothing is impossible for God. And the more you trust him, the more you'll see that trust rewarded. The more you'll see he comes through for you, the more your faith will grow. Growing in faith is growing in surety and certainty in that which you cannot see but you know is there. And knowing that gets you through the lack of seeing that. Let's resolve to make this year different to last year. That this year, my faith is going to grow. My surety is going to grow. My resolve is going to grow. And the things that would have stuck in me and burnt me last year will glance off me this year. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, no matter what our level of faith is, that this year, 2018, we will grow in faith. We will grow in trust. We will grow in resolve. And that, Lord, this year, as our shields are strengthened, as we come together and overlap our shields, Lord, I pray that the enemy can't stand against us and that we will take new ground this year. We will take new ground in Teesside. We will take new ground in our lives, that we will defeat things that last year would have knocked us down. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for steadfastness and faithfulness, Lord, in every one of our lives. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.